Very good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We continue our study on 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we will be focusing on the marital status and constitution of a believer. The Lord knows that when the church increases in number, when you have Jews, Samaritans, and Gentiles joining the church and worshiping together, the many different facets of life will begin to exist in the local church. You have single people, you have married people, you have those who have been married as unbelievers, and then what happens when one party becomes a believer? Should they dwell together as believer and unbeliever, or should they separate and divorce? What should the biblical guideline be for a widow or a widower? What is the biblical guideline for a person who is single and unmarried virgin? All these will be dealt with by God through the writing of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we have just started by looking at verse 1 to verse 5 last Lord's Day. And this morning we shall continue. The topic is very similar from last Lord's Day, but this morning we are going to focus on singlehood or marriage. Know that it is a gift from God. When God saved us in Christ Jesus, you know that you are already fit for heaven, instantaneously, like the thief who died next to Christ at Christ's crucifixion. The moment he accepted Christ, Jesus said to him, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." And so our Heavenly Father knows our status, our condition, better than all of us. And so after he saved us, some he will take home to glory, like the malefactor or the thief who died next to Christ, or many of us left behind after salvation to serve the Lord and to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in the state and condition that God knows that we are in. So God knows what is in your heart. And God wants you to know that he knows. And so he has given to us instruction. Some of you might feel that you want to get married and you become impatient. And so you do wrong things, sinful things, because of your impatience. Learn to trust in the Lord and be still, and to know that he is God. He knows what is best for us, whether to be single or to be married. The Apostle Paul understands. And so he says in verse 6, "But I speak this by permission and not of commandment." Now what exactly is this mentioned in verse 6 that he referred to? Was it the teaching that he mentioned before verse 6? Or was it a reference to the teaching that he is about to teach after verse 6, whereby he said, "I speak this by permission and not of commandment"? So he did not mean to command, because he knows that it cannot be commanded. It is by permission. What exactly is the meaning of the word permission? When you look at commentaries, some commentaries say that it is the teaching before verse 6. And so you look at verse 1 to verse 5. Which verse in verse 5 should be spoken by permission and not by commandment? Verse 1, is it by permission and not by commandment, that it is better to be like him? Or verse 2, avoid fornication? That definitely cannot be by permission, that's definitely by commandment. The Bible made it very plain and clear. Avoid fornication. Verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, likewise also the wife unto the husband. And so you find that some commentators will argue it is before, some will say after. But when you look at the word permission, it is a compound word whereby you use two words to combine them together to give us one word. And the word permission literally means with knowledge. And the word knowledge is where we have the idea of experiential knowledge rather than cognitive knowledge. And so the Apostle Paul says, "I speak this by or with experiential knowledge and not of commandment. He knew that it was not something that he could command. Like, thus said the Lord, this is what you must do. But based upon his experience. So the question is, what kind of experience was he referring to? Was it his own personal experience? Or was it an experience by observation? And so my personal opinion and understanding is that this verse, verse 6, is after. It is the teaching that follows after rather than before. And so by understanding it as after, the Apostle Paul is now telling us what I'm about to tell you is from personal experience. Now, it could also mean before, because what he mentioned in verse 7 is the same as what he mentioned in verse 1. It is better to be single. Because he says, for I would that all men were even as I myself. In what way? Who have the gift of continency, the gift of self-control in relation to his sexual desires. Paul never got married. He remained single as far as we know all the days of his life of service, and he will relate and explain that in greater detail as we go along in this chapter, explaining the practical benefits of a person who is single compared to a person who has family responsibilities. Now, we talked about that last Lord's Day. And so Paul is trying to tell us, based upon my own personal experience as a believer. Now, remember, you're not here to do your own will. You're here to do the business of the King of Kings. You are here to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. He has completed his work. He is now seated at God's right hand in heaven. Now, we are talking about Christians. This passage is about Christians. If you are not Christian, whether you're single or married, you are bonded to sin. You are bound by sin. And sin is your master. So what the Bible here speaks about a Christian wife, a Christian single person, a Christian widow, a Christian widower, does not apply to you. You cannot become a Christian by doing Christian things. God, our Heavenly Father, knows our state and our condition, including our personal needs. He knows our singlehood, or who should be single, who should be married. He knows who should experience the loss of a loved one, to be a widow or a widower. Our Heavenly Father makes no mistakes. He knows. And that's why he gave us biblical instruction on how to respond and how to react and how to be a godly witness when this state and condition that is in our lives changes. And so the Apostle Paul says, by experience, with experience, and not by commandment, because he knows he cannot command everyone to be like him. It is by experience, he says that it is better, it is good to be single for practical purposes and reason. And you can see also, when you read the lives of many of God's people in the past, and I'm sure, God willing, you can also see some in your lifetime. And they will be able to serve God in a greater capacity, because their entire life and the time from the day they are born again in Christ until the day when the Lord calls them home, they are 100% devoted and focused on how to be a servant of the Most High God. They can go when they want to. They don't have to be concerned or worried about their young children. They just serve the Lord with 100% heart, soul, mind, and strength as a single person. Now, some of you may be single now and you want to get married, but you must take advantage of the time when you are single now. Don't make a mistake. Don't jump in and disobey the word of God because you want to marry an unbeliever. Don't let your heart that you say this is love cause you to cross the line and sin against God. You cannot allow that to happen. Because to do that, you are basically saying that my Heavenly Father does not know my need. He does not know the state and the condition. He knows. He knows better than you and I would ever, ever know. He saved you when you and I, when He saved us, when we are all enemies of God, when we are all in total depravity. He knows He loved us when we were in that state and condition. And then He sent Jesus Christ to die for you and for me. When we don't even bother about Him, when we bow down to idols, when our heart was still loving money, mammon, the things of the world. We didn't even bother about Him. We didn't even bother to care that He exists. And yet He was the one who initiated our entire journey of salvation. He provided everything to save us. He gave us the faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now that we are His children, sons and daughters of God Almighty, you think that He will never care for you anymore? He will love you even more if that is ever possible. Because God's agape love is always to the max. He will never do anything that will not be for your good and for my good. Trust Him. Don't allow the voices of the world to drown out the voice of your Heavenly Father in your heart. That is what the world would want. See, the world wants to destroy our witness and testimony. When you marry an unbeliever because you are sick of your singlehood, you are so desperate to get married. Do you know what happens? Your entire life of witness for Christ is completely shattered. Straight away, a church that is biblical and sound can never use you. The moment you sin in this great fashion, marriage is a very important crossroad in every human being's life, more so in a believer's life. And if you are single right now, you trust in the Lord, and then you take advantage of the singlehood to serve Him without family responsibilities. Because one day, if it is the Lord's will for you to get married, you will get married. Trust Him. Wait for His time. Don't be impatient. Don't fret. Don't worry. You just focus on your spiritual well-being, how to be a more faithful, more godly, and more holy witness for Christ. That should be your all-consuming focus and desire as a single person. Because once you get married, things will change very, very quickly. Many are not prepared. Do you realize that? Many are not prepared for the life of marriage. How do we know? Well, by simple observation. You look at how many young people used to be so zealous and fervent and devoted when they were in the YF. And then they pray for a life partner, and in time to come, God gave them a life partner, but they are not prepared. They allow the cares of family life. That's what the Bible warns us in Matthew 13. The deceitfulness of riches and the cares of the world. What world? Your world on this earth, that you serve the Lord, family life, overwhelm you, whereby your ministry and your service has now taken a back seat. Where once upon a time, you could just simply, at the drop of a hat, with the burden in your heart, you will go to different countries to bring the word of God to serve the Lord. But now you couldn't anymore. Not anymore. You have to count the cost. You have to think very, very carefully, because now you have an additional responsibility that you have not prepared yourself for. And you're so caught up by making money, more money and more money, because now you have a family to provide and you have a house to pay for and you have a mouth, more mouths with children coming along to provide. And so what has happened? Your life of service in the Lord has entered into the doldrums. Into the back burner, they call it. No longer the forefront. They are not prepared for the married life. And so when it hit them, they got so overwhelmed, and by the time they find out, they are in their 50s and 60s, and when they look back, what have they done for the Lord Jesus Christ? They could only count those years when they were young and single. They could count them as good memories. That's it. Whereby they have spent so many hours completely devoted to the Lord when they were in the YF. But between YF age and 50s, blank in terms of the spiritual value. Oh, they may have a lot of material things. Big houses, big cars, big bank accounts. But what do they have to show before the Lord other than these which God calls wood, hay, and stubble? Because they have not been for the Lord. It has been for personal gain, personal benefit, personal pleasures. So thank God that you are single. Paul says, I speak this by permission, from experience, not by commandment. I wish that all men were even as I myself, single and have the ability, the gift from God of self-control. However, but he knows every man hath his proper gift of God. Now the word proper means one's own. The gift there means spiritual gift. So we know that whether to be single or married, the Apostle Paul also admits from his experience, he says, with a gift of self-control, spend only your time on this earth fully and completely devoted to Christ. He says it's good. But then he knows that it is not up to the individual. It is the gift that God will give to the individual that makes the difference. And so it is from experience, and now it is from God. You have to know that this gift to be married is from God. This gift to be single is from God. So therefore, since it is a gift from God, there is nothing to compare. Don't compare. The problem with people who are given gifts is when they compare. And when they compare, they realize that, why is God so unfair? Why did God give me this gift and not that gift? Don't compare. It is a gift. You thank God for it. It is a spiritual gift. That's the word, charisma. A spiritual, gracious gift that God has given to us, one after this manner and another after that. It's not up to you to ask. It's not up to you to bang table and demand, because it is called a gift. The moment you deserve it, it becomes a payment or a reward. It's no longer a gift. You didn't work for it. God will give you the status, whether single or married, according to God's timing for His purpose in your life. Remember, you are here on earth after salvation to be the hands and feet and the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not here to do your own thing. You're not here to promote yourself. You're not here to earn for yourself a big fat name so that your names will be remembered along with all the list of great men and women in the world. That's not why you are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you, who rose from the dead for your justification, so that you can enjoy life on earth and be a very famous, rich billionaire, so that your name will be listed together with all the men and women of the world. That is not your purpose, and I hope that's not your desire. Once upon a time, that could be your desire before salvation. You did not know better. But after salvation, remember, you are here on one purpose, and that is to glorify Christ, to let the world know that God loves this world. And God loved this world by sending Jesus Christ to die for this world, the sins of men. How to show this? Your life of holiness. You are a living, walking testimony of the love of God and the power of Jesus Christ's death on the cross. That's what you are here for. And so whether you are single or married, God knows, and God will give you the gift of singlehood or the gift of marriage. Sure, we are all born into this world as single people. But then as we grow older, you will know whether you are to be single or married, but there will be a time of singlehood first before you enter into married life. But whatever the state or condition, you never use that as an excuse or in desperation cross the line into transgression. The moment you do that, Satan has won. Your witness and your testimony to your family members and friends will be so terribly shattered and affected. Sure, you can repent. By all means, repent after you have crossed the line. Please repent. But there is no divorce after repentance. There is no way you can salvage and bring everything back to square one as if that has never happened. The best you can do is to do damage control and to restore back and to pick up the pieces of a shattered testimony of Christ, for Christ, because you have decided to marry an unbeliever. You cannot do that out of desperation. Don't let the voices of the world to lure you cross the line of sin. Stay on the path of righteousness. Continue to trust in your Heavenly Father. He gives you the gift, whether it is to be single or married, and He makes no mistakes in your life, and you must accept it as a gift. Don't just simply accept it as a norm, as, well, I'm just growing up, and I'm just make this. There's no such thing as an accident. You are now a spiritual person in Christ after salvation. That means everything you do is spiritual. When the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but always against principalities, that is not only outside. It's not only flesh and blood in terms of the people outside that influence and impact your life. That Jesus warns us that you wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means these people who make your life difficult, these people who try to seduce you and tempt you with the things of the world, you are not wrestling against them, but against spiritual forces. But also within. You are now a spiritual person. You are not just a person of flesh and blood anymore. Before salvation, you were depraved. You did not know better. But after salvation, your eyes are supposed to be open to the spiritual realm. You are now able to see the world with the eyes of God and the eyes of Christ. And therefore, you must stop looking at your own life the way that you used to, controlled by the ideas and the philosophies of the world. Now you must allow the Word of God to be your only perspective of life. Not a mixture. You have to push out the old worldly way and replace them by the Word of God so that you can be truly a Christian. Because you and I know that a Christian is not a person who says he is one. If anybody can just simply say he's a Christian, then the world will be very much like heaven, and heaven will be very much like the world. God should open the door to every Tom, Dick, and Harry who will enter into the pearly gates of heaven. God tells us in a very definitive way that you are not a believer because you say you are one, but you are a believer because you do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Where do you and I find the will of God the Father who is in heaven where we remain on earth? Because this injunction from Christ was given to man when man was on earth. If it's in heaven, not a problem. Because God is in heaven, we can know the will of God, we are all in heaven. But Jesus Christ did not give us the injunction in heaven, on earth. So how can we on earth do the will of God the Father who is in heaven? Then He has to reveal to us what His will is. Did God reveal His will to us on this earth? Yes, the Bible. So how do I know I'm a child of God? The Bible. And so therefore, this status, single or married in your life, you have to now understand it from the perspective of Scripture. And the Bible says it is a spiritual gift that your Heavenly Father has bestowed upon you. Accept it. Receive it graciously. With a humble heart. Don't fight against it. Whatever your heart desires are, put it aside. Your Heavenly Father knows. He knows that at this time of your life, He wants you to be single. Now, if you are married as unbelievers and then now you become a believer, what should you do? The next few verses that comes will tell us from verse 10 onwards. That will be the instruction from God's word. God knows, you see. God knows that you're married as an unbeliever. You went through your marriage as unbeliever. There was no church marriage. And then along the way, God saved you. And so one of you is a believer, the other one is not. Verse 10 onwards, the Bible will teach us how to relate and how to understand God's will in that kind of status and condition. But to those who are single, first and foremost, it is a spiritual gift from your Heavenly Father, not an accident. It's not just a simple, normal way of life. There are no accidents. Remember, in the life of God's children, your Heavenly Father is always very intimately concerned and He cares very much how you feel and what you are going through. And so therefore, He knows what is best for you, even though at times you think you know what is best for you better than Him. That sometimes is what we do and what we feel. And that's where the problem begins. God knows the status and condition. Do not go ahead of Him. You and I know after we are married, it's easy to get married. Very easy to get married. Seriously, very easy. If you have some funds, you can even have a very grand marriage with all the expensive trappings of marriage. You can walk down the aisles and decorate the aisles with a lot of expensive decoration. You can pay big bucks for this beautiful wedding gown and the man will wear a beautiful tuxedo. And then after that, you go for a glorious and amazing and mouth-watering dinner after it. Easy to get married. And then after that, that's marriage. And those who have been married, you know that to remain married is so difficult. So difficult to remain married because you have two different homes merged into one. The man will have his own idea of what the home ought to be that he has learned from his parents. The girl will have her own idea of what it means, what a home ought to be, her parents. And you think they are the same? Far from it. They are so different because we are all different. And so now you brought them two together. And so he will probably want the home to be run the way that he has been very comfortable with, that he learned from his parents. And the girl will do the same. And so there will be misunderstanding, there will be a clash of difference of opinions. And then they're going to quarrel over how the home ought to be run, over how the home ought to be designed, what kind of color, where to do this, where to do that, what to put this and where to put that. And so they're going to quarrel. First year, second year, third year, they are making a lot of adjustments. That's married life. And then when you have children coming in, how to bring up children if you do not know God's word? If the word of God is not deeply rooted and embedded in your heart and in your soul, in your mind, because you're so caught up by making more money to pay for the flat and you can't even afford the flat, and so now you want to buy a bigger flat, and so both parties have to work, and so now you're in serious trouble. Children are coming. And so how to bring up children? No time to study God's word. You stop serving, you stop studying the Bible. And so now the children is born. One, two, three. And they start growing up. They need to go to school. What are you going to do? School education is now God in our world. And you do not know better because both of you have stopped reading the Bible. You have stopped praying. And so all you care about is now education, education, education. And so look for the best kindergarten, the best this, the best that. And what do? You quarrel again. Because your way of bringing up children different from the wife, or the wife from you. And so you quarrel. Because you don't know God's word. That's married life. Without Christ. Without the word of God. And then you quarrel all the way until your children are teenagers. And then the quarrel will intensify because teenagers, when they are occupied, when they are controlled by the world, when their minds are occupied by the things of the world, they're going to be rebellious. They're going to give you nightmare. That's married life. You still want to get married? You sure you still want to get married? This is only the tip of the iceberg. There are many more, right? Those who are married, how some of them long. I wish I did not get married. True or not, some of you? God knows. You learn to be patient. If now you are single, you thank God for your singlehood. And you use every moment while you are single to become a better believer, to become more spiritual. And when it is time, God will prepare your heart and God will prepare the heart of the other person. And then God will bring the both of you together because now both of you are ready. How do I know? You don't have to know. You know God knows. You trust Him when it is time. And then your marriage will be godly, will be holy, will be Christ-centered. And then where the word of God abounds and prevails in your home, where the husband thinks according to scriptures, the wife thinks according to scriptures, even though they may have different upbringing by different parents, but now both of them think according to scriptures, what do you think will happen? Unity. Because the husband will do things according to the Bible, the wife will do things according to the Bible, no quarrel. Same mind. Whose mind? The mind of Christ. And then when they have children, both of them continue to study God's word, both of them continue to know God's word. And then when the parents, when the father wants the child to be brought up according to the scriptures, the mother also wants the child to be brought up according to the scriptures, where the emphasis is not on the study, where education is not God, where Christ is God. Again, no quarrel, a blissful, wonderful home, where the father is godly, the mother is godly, the children are brought up in a godly atmosphere. Peace in the home. That's what God wants for all his children as they witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, because the most important area of your witness is at home. Do you realize that? At home, where your children will see you for who you really are. And then when they are old enough, they will see a wonderful Savior, and you don't even have to share with them the gospel. They will tell you, Mom, Dad, show me how to believe in this wonderful Savior that I keep on hearing and seeing in your life. I see Him in your relationship between Mom and Dad all the time. And I want to know this Savior. Mom, please show me how. That's what God wants. For every child of God who has been gifted by God with the spiritual gift of marriage. But you have to wait for His time. So in the meantime, you prepare yourself spiritually. Prepare yourself. So while you are single, Paul says, verse 8, I say therefore to the unmarried and to the widows. Now he's going to elaborate more concerning the widows, okay? So you bear this in mind. It is good for them if they abide even as I, that is, have the gift of continency, the gift of self-control, while they are in this state and condition. Now he's going to talk more about the widows, especially younger widows. Alright, he will talk more. However, at this juncture, he says, however, but if they cannot contain, that means if they do not have the gift of continency, the gift of self-control, let them marry. Now, God knows, okay, let them marry. But remember, while you are single, spend your time like the Apostle Paul, devoted to the work of God. And so, as you have this desire to get married, where you know you do not have the gift of continency, and that is self-control, you think your Heavenly Father does not know? He knows. See, sometimes as pastor, you go to other churches and some churches are smaller. And so the pastors of these other churches or the leaders of these other churches, they have this very, very genuine concern for the younger people in the congregation. The guys and the girls. Where are they going to find a life partner? And so sometimes they are so concerned that they think that they should be matchmakers. You know matchmakers? Trying to find them a life partner. They want them to find a godly life partner. And so they try to search high and low for a godly girl or a godly guy for this person or that person. They focus on the wrong person. Remember, you focus on the person that you know in your congregation. Get them to be godly and spiritual. If they do not have the gift of continency, God knows. And remember, who you married and when you are to marry, they are just as important as just simply getting married. You marry the wrong person. When I say wrong person, I mean a person that is not of God's choice. Now remember the will of God in the Bible. No one can ever go outside of God's will. God is always sovereign. Okay? Now remember this. Know the many different types of God's will. God has revealed to us in His Word what He wants for us in the realm of singlehood or marriage, which we call the desired will of God or the desiderative will of God. And God's desire for all His children is to marry in the faith. Marry a believer who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, who believes in the same doctrines as you do, who have the same calling as you have, who is also devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, soul, strength, and mind as you have. And your marriage, guaranteed based upon God's word, will not only be wonderful, it will be very, very blissful and happy and Christ-honoring. Will there be problems? Sure. Will there be struggles? Definitely. But you will go through them together, united with the mind of Christ according to scriptures, and you will be a better and a greater testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. So remember, it is a spiritual gift. But in the meantime, while you are single, serve the Lord joyfully. It is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. You think God does not know? You see, he put it in scriptures. He knows that those who have a strong desire to be married, don't be impatient. Wait patiently. Trust in the Lord. In the meantime, thank God for this period of singlehood and serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Spend time and be a holy and godly witness wherever you are. If the Lord has given you a burden to go overseas on mission, you go overseas on mission. If one day when you get married, this time where you can just simply go overseas on missions will no longer be available. It will change forever. And while you have this time and experience of singlehood, be the best godly man and godly woman that you possibly can. Devote your time, your resources, and every moment serving the Lord. Be a godly witness. And then when, all right, when, not if, when, because God knows. It is time for you. Your Heavenly Father knows when you are going to be married. He will send someone into your life. When he knows you are ready, when he knows that person is ready. So don't be impatient. Don't cross the line and sin. Singlehood or marriage, it's a gift. Paul is sharing with us from his own personal experience. To be single is good in terms of time, in terms of the practical aspects. But remember, to be single or married is from God. Your Heavenly Father knows what is best for you. And finally, you know from within your heart whether to be single or to be married. You know it. And whatever state of condition you are in right now, commit it to the Lord, because your Heavenly Father also knows. He puts it there. He placed it in your heart. Remember, he saved you. He wants you to remain here on earth to be his holy witness. And he knows what will be best for you at this juncture of your life to be the best holy witness for Christ. And he makes no mistakes. You must trust him. And don't allow the voices of the world to tell you otherwise. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee for salvation so rich and so free that we have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For You have saved us for service, and we thank Thee, Father, for every moment that You have allowed us to remain on this earth, to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be His mouthpiece, to be His eyes, to be His hands and feet, to do His work, to go to places where He wants us to go. And whether we are single or married, we know that You are in sovereign and absolute control of the status and condition of all Your children. Help us, therefore, to submit to Your will in our lives. Help us not to be impatient. Help us not to listen to the voices of the world and the peer pressures that continue to bombard us, but to learn to be still and to know that You are God, in total, absolute, sovereign control over every moment of the lives of all Your children. To those who are single, grant to them Thy strength and Thy wisdom to be patient and to give of their time and their resources and their energy in promoting God's kingdom and to become better believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to all of us who are married, help us, O Lord, to learn from Holy Scriptures as well how we ought to conduct ourselves as Christian husbands and Christian wives. And we pray, Father, that together, whether single or married, we may all bring glory and honor to thy holy name, seeking only to exalt and magnify the name of our Savior, for this is the one and only reason and purpose for our living and our existence here on this earth, before the Lord's return to take us home to be with him. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.